Good morning. If you want a headline for this morning's reading, it will be Don't Worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. This morning, we're going to do something slightly different. I hope everybody has got a set of this. We're going to do some kind of auction. How many babies here have done auction before? None. Okay. So that would be a good experience. Jesus continues in the theme of the Sermon on the Mount by pointing out that sometimes we are so engrossed in the things of this world that it leads us to worry. Today we are going to learn why we have no need to worry by looking at the what, why, and how. What is worry? Why we must not worry? And how to stop worry? Jesus begins to ask a series of rhetorical questions that are designed to reveal the real source of worry, namely a lack of faith. With these questions, Jesus also appeals to logic, making argument both from the greater to the lesser and from the lesser to the greater. Although rhetorical questions need not answered, we are going to answer them.
Don't worry about your life, food, drink, or body. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?
So in answering these questions, if you think it's yes, you raise your bid. No? Oh, okay. All right. One over there. Maybe. Right. We've got one no. We really will have to have a chat after this. In other words, as Jesus assumes here, God has given us life itself and the bodies we possess. He is not also able to provide the food, clothing, and the healing grace. Is God also not able to provide the food, clothing, and the healing grace? We need to sustain our lives and provide for our bodies to live a healthy life. If God can do greater things, how much more capable is he of doing these lesser things? It sounds as if Jesus has never heard of recession. Please allow me to stir our thoughts. Is Jesus aware of poverty? And that some Christians around the third world die of hunger? Doesn't he realize that at the moment jobs are in short supply? Doesn't Jesus know that life expenses is harder for most of us? Doesn't he know that we live in pandemic times? That is frankly worrying. Of course he does. That is why his teaching comes home to roost. Because in these troublesome times, we see some of us made redundant when some narrowly escape. But it still remains the case that worrying about everything doesn't help, because God remains our loving Heavenly Father, who knows all about this precious and has good purpose for each one of us somewhere in there. With regard to poverty, Jesus is very well acquainted with poverty. He spent most of his time with the poor and disadvantaged of his day. Jesus once said to someone who wanted to follow him, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus knows poverty far better than most of us ever will. He knows it firsthand, and he knows it in the life of those he meets. So when times are so hard that each day is an exercise in survival, there are two ways to go about life at the subsistence level. One can either say, "I am poor, I live to eat." Or, "I am poor, so I will use the strength that God gives me each day to live for him." We also see that Jesus offers a series of arguments from the lesser to the greater.
"Look at the birds of the air. Are you not of more value than they?"
Those who think we are more valued than the birds Those who don't think so. Maybe those who want to sit on the fence. This argument focus upon the way God providentially cares for his creation. Doing such things as feeding the birds and decorating the flowers of the field. To emphasize his point, Jesus gives survival examples from the natural world. Why? Because God keeps them alive. Elizabeth Cheney wrote a little poem entitled "Overhead in the Garden." Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious people, human beings, rush about and worry." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as care for you and me." Well, Even the birds can see our worry. Jesus' other good example for the opposite reason are the wild flowers. They are so transient and short-lived, and yet God clothed each of them with the most exquisite beauty. How much more will He make sure of you and I, who are created in His image and redeemed by Christ? For now, Jesus is using the birds and the wild flowers to make His appeal to us not to worry about food, drink, and clothing. Jesus also seeks to highlight the hopelessness of worry, as seen in His next rhetorical question.
Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life?
Right. Anybody think yes? Right, I've got one here. I really need to have a serious chat with you after the service. Maybe? Oh, another yes. Oh, I've got 3 yes over there. Right. Okay. And no's. Helen really believes. The question reinforces Jesus' point by emphasizing that worry is useless because it simply doesn't accomplish anything. It cannot make us immortal or grow taller. So the people who said yes, I would like to see you grown taller by the end of the service. In fact, Christ says worry cannot make one live longer, but can shorten one's life earlier. Worry can take over lives and rob them of joy as well. No wonder our Lord Jesus wants us not to worry. And no wonder He offers us so many arguments against worry. His next rhetorical question takes us to our final auction.
If God so clothes the lilies of the field, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith?
Will God clothe you? Any no's? Any maybes? Oh, one no. Okay. Well, Jesus is saying that worry is related to earthly necessities, which comes as a result of our lack of faith in our Heavenly Father. If the focus of our life is on only the things in this life, then we have faith problem. It is a sign that we have very little faith to trust in the work of God's grace. Now, this brings us to the end of our auction. For practical application, if any of the babies decide to apply this auction experience in the real world, please do not start by bidding on a country estate like that one in Burma. instead starts with a small teapot or a chair in West Sussex. So we move on to our first point. What is worry? Worry, according to psychologists, is a form of thinking about future events in a way that it leaves one feeling anxious and apprehensive. Future events like things that haven't happened yet, or even may never happen at all. Clinically, excessive worry is the primary symptom of generalized anxiety disorder. Such chain of thoughts and images can be negatively effect-laden and relatively uncontrollable. Consequently, worry relates closely to the fear process. As seen on the screen, it is like a Swedish proverb which says, worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Worry and anxiety rob one of joy and peace, and it can affect one mentally and physically, draining their energy and instilling fear. The side effect of worry can leave one feeling overwhelmed, anxious, and even physically ill. In addition to having negative effects on lives, worry can damage health and relationships and rob life's joy and opportunity. Not only does worry affect oneself, it can affect others around them. Above all, worry can affect our relationship with God. One might be thinking, hold on, curate. If one doesn't worry, one can get vital things done. Let me point out that there is a genuine place for concern. Concern and worry are not the same thing. Distinctively, we take our concern about daily needs to God in prayer, rather than worry about them. The difference between concern and worry can be a subtle one, but we can perhaps safely discriminate between the two by recognizing that concern can leave things with God after prayer, but worry can let go of them. Concern acknowledges that something needs careful thought. Worry is given to consuming trepidation. Concern gives way to planning. Worry gives way to fear. Concern leads to healthy attention. Worry leads to unhealthy anxiety. Concern moves us to action. Worry immobilized one. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. Our concern may be with food, finances, and fashion. But Jesus' concern is definitely with our faith, because our focus is messed up. And we need to recalibrate and refocus our lives on what is most important. We move on to our next point, why we must not worry. Jesus tells us several times in this passage not to worry or be anxious. Do you think this is important to him? Yes, sir, it is. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus doesn't meet us halfway in addressing worry. He doesn't say, oh, try to manage the fears, or I know it's hard, but try to cut back on the worry. No, sir, he doesn't say any of those things. He completely stands against worry in all its forms. In verse 25, he is targeting fear at its most basic. This is about fear of losing life, fear of not having enough, fear about one's body, fear about how one will appear in the world, and how one will be clothed. All these are absolutely fundamental fears. And Jesus is saying, just don't. Live completely free of anxiety. Dear friends, do you see the link between fear and faithlessness? There is really no need to worry, because all we really need is Jesus. The one who says, do not be anxious, fearlessly comes and gives himself to his Father, gives himself to his friends, and enters into the terrors that you and I spend our times avoiding. We fear death, but Jesus enters its deepest, darkest point for us. We fear physical compromise. Jesus entered it at its worst, flogged, punched, pierced and stabbed, his heart ruptured for us. We fear losing autonomy. Jesus is bound hand and foot, handed from court to court, from soldier to soldier, and finally nailed to a wooden cross for us. We fear separation, yet Jesus is rejected at his death, which triggered his cry of, my God, why have you forsaken me? Lonely, rejected, and despised, as possibly as can be, Jesus entered all separation for us. We fear shame and humiliation, yet Jesus ran headlong into it, mocked, spat at, and given the most excruciating death the Romans ever devised, dissected and naked on full display, God the Son becomes a laughingstock to the world, and he enters into shame and humiliation for us. In spite of such an amazing grace, we still spend our lives worrying about what we will eat. And Jesus takes bread, saying, I am the bread of life broken to feed you of little faith. We spend our lives worrying about what we will drink. Jesus takes a cup, saying, this is my blood poured out for anxious souls like you. We spend our lives worrying about what we will wear. And on the cross, Jesus is stripped so that we can be clothed in his righteousness. Do you still worry? If so, confess to God. We move on to our next, how to stop worrying. How do we overcome worrying? Turn to Jesus, who accepts our true priority that alleviates worry to help us focus on eternal matters like becoming holy, seeing others saved, growing and building God's kingdom. Jesus asserts that our ultimate priority is about his command not to worry. He does this by highlighting that the real cure for worry is to be found in trusting God more fully and also in getting our priorities straight as children of God whose Heavenly Father does really know and understand our needs. In other words, we must seek God's kingdom and righteousness first. Through the advancement of God's kingdom and of the gospel, just as Jesus did, so that we will seek to use our lives to see more and more people acknowledge Jesus as Savior and committed to follow him. In making our lives chase after something worthwhile, such as God's righteousness, it triggers our desire to seek to grow more and more like Jesus in the way we live, and in doing all we can to make the world a more justice and righteous place. This choice is made every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, by putting God's kingdom as the reality and dearest to our hearts. Then we confidently begin to find that as God's concern outweighs our concerns, our faith becomes stronger as we prayerfully depend on him to work in and through us. And we begin to find that we have less and less reason to worry about the future. In other words, we stop worry by putting our trust in God for the rest to work out. We see God's desire to take care of us. Often the way we conquer a passion is to focus on a greater passion. That is, to channel our ambition into seeing God's kingdom and righteousness spread and reflected in our lives and in the society around us. To focus on eternal matters delivers us from worry, and brings us into God's peace. To overcome worry, we must focus on our Father's providential care to encourage us to trust God, who intricately is involved in every aspect of his creation. Again, to overcome worry, we must recognize our great value in God. Our culture may be losing its value for human life, but rest assured that God has not lost his value for human life. We are his favorite and prized possession in all the universe. My rhetorical questions are, do you trust that you are important to God than all the rest of creation? Do you trust that God can provide for you? Do you trust that God knows what is best for you? He is our creator, and we must eternally remember that God is our Father. Jesus is not just a preacher on the mountaintop. He is our Savior, the way and the truth and the life, who has taken us by the hand. He has entered into all our fears and come out the other side, returned to his Father in heaven, and he has taken us with him. Today he says to each one of us, I am your food, I am your drink, I am your clothing, I am your standing before the Father in heaven, and you have everything in me.
Let him give you a hand.
Trust in God's graciousness. Recognize the wisdom of his grace. Jesus knows all about us. He is the beginning and the end of all that. He is the beginning and the end, and all that is somewhere in the middle. In conclusion, we come to the end of Jesus' admonition not to worry. Here is a closing thought. Do not let the worry of tomorrow hinder your expectancy in God's today. And I hope that all of us who trust in Christ as Lord and Savior will live here today encouraged to trust him more and more each day, making his priorities our own and learning not to worry, because we know our lives are in his loving hands. Amen.